This is The Record with Steve Scherer. I'm Marcy Silman. At some point in the future, low-wage workers in Seattle are going to get a raise, but we still don't know when that's going to be or how much that wage hike will be as well. Mayor Ed Murray convened a task force to study the issue of raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. That task force is supposed to issue its recommendations in late April. This past weekend, Seattle City Council member Shama Sawant called for a $15 phase-in for small businesses and nonprofit human services organizations.
Big business should go to 15 immediately. No tip credit, no total compensation, no training wages, no teenage wages. The reason we're talking about small businesses phase-in is because we want the conversation to move forward, but more importantly, to move forward in the right direction for workers.
That was Seattle City Council member Shama Sawant. Dominic Holden is associate editor at The Stranger, and he's been following the minimum wage debate closely. Dominic, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Shama Sawant campaigned on raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour all at once, no compromise. She now supports this phase. And yesterday, the organization 15 Now said that they would support that phase in too. First of all, why a shift in strategy?
Well, I think that you're seeing a shift in strategy from not just the council member, but also activists on the ground, because they realize that in order to be credible and to be persuasive, they need to be able to say that they've got a measure that could go to voters and pass. And right now, we've seen a lot of small business owners, they're speaking in social media and sometimes in interviews to the press, saying that if we implement $15 an hour minimum wage right now, it fundamentally changes their business model and they won't be able to survive. And the truth is, these are very sympathetic characters. This is where we get coffee and do our shopping and buy groceries. So they realize that if this does come down to a ballot fight, they need something that can win over the public.
Well, we don't know what the mayor's task force will recommend or what Mayor Ed Murray will recommend, but if they're both going to recommend a phase-in, what does that mean for 15 Now, which Shama Sawant has been affiliated with, moving forward with a separate ballot measure?
What we've heard from 15 Now today in a briefing before the city council is that 15 Now is willing to file a ballot measure on April 1st and then begin gathering signatures for it as soon as April 26th.
Even though the task force that the mayor has set up isn't going to issue recommendations till the end of April.
Exactly. And I think that what they're trying to do is leverage some pressure on the mayor's task force, then ultimately the council that would approve something, and encourage them to pass something robust enough that that 15 Now doesn't take this to the ballot, that they don't have a heated ballot fight. But if they do pass something weak, that there is an alternative.
I'm talking with the associate editor of The Stranger newspaper, Dominic Holden, who's been following Seattle's minimum wage debate quite closely. The mayor's task force has been meeting pretty much since January. It's one of the first things that Ed Murray did when he took office was convene this task force. What are the major issues at play in their conversations?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because one of the problems that we've seen is 15 Now it has been saying no compromise, and you've had some business owners reacting to it. There's been this very heated binary conversation. And when you speak to people privately, they've been saying, well, we know that there is going to be some sort of phase-in. What we're really talking about are ways that we can make it work. But that hasn't been the public conversation. So it is important to look at those issues. One of the big questions is, how do you distinguish a large company like, say, Starbucks or McDonald's, Burger King, Target, that can absorb an increase to $15 an hour, arguably immediately, with minimum compromise, from a small business? So that's one of the big questions. Do you do it by the number of employees they have, 10, 20, 50, 100, 200, or the number of stores that they have? Or another metric could be to look at the gross revenues. And this is something that is going to have to be figured out by 15 Now, I mean, and the mayor's committee, but
right.
15 Now more urgently if they're running an initiative, because they're saying they would allow a phase-in of 3 years for small businesses, but they haven't figured out what a small business is. So that's the first big question.
Another thing that we heard Shama Sawant say is this isn't about teens. And I know that whether you pay a teenager $15 an hour as opposed to an adult worker $15 an hour is something that privately has been in part of the conversation.
There is this idea in America that most of the people who receive minimum wage are teenagers. And this used to be true. The Washington Post was looking at this number, though, and looking at the number of people who would be affected by President Obama's proposal for a $10.10 minimum wage. And more than half of those people who would be affected are people who support themselves, many of which actually are raising children. So these aren't teenagers. And I think that a lot of the labor supporters and activists would loathe to set some sort of precedent that we create a new training wage or teen wage in Seattle when we know that, you know, that isn't necessarily where the big battleground of minimum wage is.
We've also seen some reports about fissures in the labor movement over this issue. Are those hype or is that actually happening?
One of the most contentious issues, in my prediction, and I could be proven wrong, is going to be over this issue of total compensation, which is to say that $15 an hour would be the wage total, providing for, say, an employee's tips or health care benefits or insurance coverage, retirement planning. Labor does not support this as a general rule. But if on the mayor's commission there is a solid majority that says we can get to a fairly robust $15 an hour law, but there must be some sort of tip compensation credit factored in, whether it be making up the difference all the way from 932 to 15 or maybe from 1250 up to 15. You could see a fight between really these sort of fundamentalist people within the labor movement saying, don't set this compromise. We don't want to do that for the state. We're not going to do it in Seattle. And those who say, this is a wonderful step forward. Let's take what we can get.
Well, so what happens next?
You know, the next big question is going to be, you know, going back to this initiative. It is being filed essentially as a political threat that if you don't go far enough, then we are going to take this to the public. And they're going to need to craft a law very quickly that has a lot of public appeal and could pass in November. They'll need to gather more than 20,000 signatures, and they hope that they'll be able to sustain numbers that they found in a poll that said 68% of Seattle voters support this. But if the city council passes something, a more moderate version of the law, then the problem with an initiative is that rather than it going up against the status quo, saying 932 or 15, which people will literally march on the streets for, it will be a deliberative process that gets to 15 one way versus a more extreme version. And that doesn't have the sort of political weight that just going up against the status quo would.
Dominic Holden is associate editor at The Stranger. He's been following the Seattle minimum wage debate quite closely. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
It's The Record on KUOW.